Good evening. Welcome to the Solaire Report. Today is January 2nd, 2020. Welcome to a new year, a new decade. It's the third decade of the 21st century. I hope your holiday season was fun and fruitful. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. We have a series of new website features. We sent out an email. You can find it in the update section if it didn't come through to you. The news, trends, and stories we're now going to do in table press format. If you click on any of the individual sections, you'll just get the table press for that section. If you click on the all news, you get everything. And it's in a table press that you can manipulate the table presses we have for the Solaire reports and the wrap-ups at the top of the homepage. Anyway, I hope that makes it easier for you to access all the great news we track. And I know it's going to make it a lot easier for us to aggregate them into the quarterly and annual wrap-ups. It's our way of really distilling open source intelligence, and it helps us a lot. We have a welcome page. If you haven't checked it out, it might help you understand how to access all the different features of the Solaire report. And also, the email reminded you about help.solaire.com. It's our support system. Just go there and let us know what you need. And then, of course, we have an ever-growing FAQ that you can access through your account. We just keep adding to that, and hopefully whatever questions you have, you can find the answer there. But if you can't, just let us know at help.solaire.com. Events. We had a great event in Malvern, Pennsylvania. It's our second time in doing an event in Malvern. I just want to thank everybody. It's amazing. People come from quite a distance. We had people from Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, and a few scattered who were in the area for Christmas. And it was a wonderful time in Pennsylvania, Christmas time. It was just lovely. March 2020, I'm doing a workshop in Basel, Switzerland with Thomas Meyer. Someone asked how to sign up, and I asked Tom and his team, but I haven't heard back. I think they're all away for Christmas. I'll post the details as soon as we have them. And of course, we have the Lake Constance Opera Hang 2020 at Lake Constance in Bavaria. Lake Constance is where Switzerland, Austria, and Germany meet. That's August 2020. We're going to be hearing Verdi's Rigoletto, Beethoven, Strauss, and Bregenz. Anyway, and mornings with Jason Bodensmith and Ulrich Kroniger. Thomas Meyer is going to be a luncheon speaker. Nina Hein will be there. If you have any questions or are interested, just contact us at customer support or ask Catherine. There's a little video discussing more about what we're going to be doing. Wrap-ups. The first quarter wrap-up, Will ESG Turn the Red Button Green, was supposed to mail on Christmas. It was delayed again by the holidays, so it's going to mail out on January 8th. So if you're a digital plus print subscriber, then your magazine will be headed your way on January 8th. In the interest of speed, we're going to mail directly from the printer, this time in the Netherlands. But you'll receive an email when it goes out. So now that our new process is in place, we anticipate getting the 2019 wrap-ups out in steady progression, and I expect the PDF and hard copy of the magazine of the second quarter, State of Our Currency, to publish next month. And then the third quarter and annual wrap-up will come out following that. So you're going to get a lot of great stuff coming your way in the first quarter. The 2019 annual wrap-up begins today, Thursday, January 2nd, with Deep State Tactics 101. It's our big theme. News, Trends, and Stories Part 1 comes tonight, and then next week is Part 2. Those are interviews with Dr. Joseph Farrell. That's another very meaty discussion. The equity overview and Rambus chartology follows. Rambus has been working and publishing on a deep look at what's going to happen in the markets and currency in 2020. And then I will continue with the deep state tactics theme the following week after that. Parts 1 through 5 of Deep State Tactics 101 published throughout 2019. We're going to publish 6 through 10 with the annual wrap-up. If you haven't listened to the first 5 parts, those audios and transcripts are available on the website. And I'd recommend you listen in the next few weeks before diving into the final 5 parts. Our theme tonight is the renewing of our minds. It is a time of year when we renew, we begin afresh. And there are 2 scripture in our prayer book that reminded me of this concept of renewing of your mind. For New Year's Eve, we have Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's from Corinthians. And then a favorite one of mine from Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another one, I love the Pistis Sophia. It's a text that I've studied with Ulrich Groniker's help. We have an interview introduction to the Pistis Sophia in the library. And one of the reasons I love the Pistis Sophia is it's so helpful in helping you move into a higher mind. If you do what I do, sometimes you can realize after reading a couple of things that your mind is hurtling immediately into the sewer. And it's very helpful to have intelligence and advice that helps you get back into accessing that divine and shared intelligence and really get back into a higher mind. Everyday life, there's all sorts of opportunities to pull you into a lower mind. Two of the other things I find helpful are Rapoport's imagination exercises and then Yuan Gong, which is a form of Qigong. I'm hoping Bridget will do a wellness series interview on it. And of course, detoxing really helps. Anyway, everybody's different, so whatever helps you keep in a higher mind is important, because if you look at all the things around us which are designed to drag us into a lower mind, it's that lower mind that keeps you from really accessing the creativity and intelligence you need to do what I call jump the curve in this environment. And this is an environment that calls for continuous jumping the curves. It's like if you've ever seen Battlestar Galactica, to get out of a tight spot, they have to go into hyper jump. We're in that kind of environment, so get ready to jump the curve. Let me talk about some of the things that's going to be trying to pull you into a lower mind this year. First of all, we have the clash of civilizations. And I don't mean the clash between Muslims and Christians. I mean the clash between one or more breakaway civilizations and the rest of all of us, as well as likely some highly advanced civilizations. And we're talking about people or civilizations that could have technology anywhere from 50 to 100 years ahead of us to thousands of years ahead of us. It's all coming out of the closet, and there are pockets of it that are competing and taking whatever they want. And that's the kind of environment where you not only have to know how to jump the curve, you have to know how to duck. The second thing is the shriekometer. We have significant distraction from the shriekometer, and a lot of it is an effort to get the population to poison or fight with each other. And it's extremely important to not let the shriekometer distract from your time or energy. There's a lot to be done in this environment, and so you really need to stay focused on the kind of world and pathway you want to create for yourself, and not let the shriekometer hook you or waste your time. The next is the economic boom is being lowered. We're in the post-financial coup consolidation, and that can mean very tough economics for people. And if it doesn't mean tough economics for you, it can mean it for the people around you, and that's going to have an impact. Then there's what I call the 700% problem. In 1995, I asked all the leaders in my company, the manager and sort of top bankers, to do a business plan, and we worked hard and came up with a great business plan, and we thought we'd all had it figured out. And finally, I said, there's something wrong. Just humor me. I want everybody, instead of doing a financial budget, I want to do a time budget. So we did, and what we discovered is we'd allocated 700% of our time, and the plan had zero chance of working. You know, and we had to re-engineer it and come up with a plan that allocated 100% of our time, not 700% of our time. If you look at all the demands that technocracy is lowering on us, as well as sort of the competition between different groups and companies, basically what it's doing is it's generating enormous time inflation, not just money inflation and inflation in the cost of goods, but inflation in the pressure on your time. And that includes in enforcement hundreds of different kinds of entrapments. And so one of the things you have to be very effective at doing is using your time well. and making sure your time is going into everything that gives you life as you define that and not things that drain you. It's very easy to get tricked into a variety of different things that you think are fun or entertaining, and the next thing you know, you've got an entrapment or you've got an addiction or you've wasted a huge amount of time. And we're all subject to it, so nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not, but the 700% problem is going to be a big one in 2020, and it's definitely one you want to jump the curve on. So be prepared to, you know, get anybody out of your life who doesn't have integrity and can waste or misuse your time or cause you risk. Remember, we're in a one-by-one inflation. You know, you have a Stasi team on you. It's AI and software, but it knows how to manipulate you. It knows how to play you. It knows how to hurt you. And, you know, and you've got a whole bunch of them. And some of them are just to make money from you, but some of them are to harvest your intelligence, or some of them are can really do you harm. Identity theft, financial fraud. We've got a great old interview in the library, but it's still very timely, from Bob Sullivan on identity theft. In this kind of environment, those kind of irritating financial frauds increase. It's not surprising the president just signed a bill to sort of limit and manage robocalls because they're off the charts. Depopulation efforts are real. If you look at what's going on with the food and health issues, you know, it's clear to me that there's a real effort to lower life expectancies. And there's pulling of money from certain kinds of, you know, healthcare systems. Lots of games going on. So you have to be able to navigate that. Mind control, we talk a lot about on the Solari report, but it can make life very frustrating, especially with when you're dealing with people around you who are ingesting a huge amount of entrainment and don't even know mind control exists. New technology, Einstein once said new technology was like a pathological killer. That's what it feels like, because you've got people all over the world just, you know, experimenting with things that could certainly kill you, kill your family, blow up the world. It's nuts. There's a lot of occult practices coming out of the closet. We're seeing it more and more. And, you know, sometimes I walk around the world saying, it's demonic, but it is. And you need to be careful. Finally, going from a unipolar model to a multipolar model means there's a dramatic increase in complexity. If you spend time in Europe or Asia, you're living in a world, you know, they're living in a multipolar world now where people speak four or five languages and are used to interacting with many different cultures. They haven't been spoiled the way many of the people in the English-speaking world have been by living in sort of a bubble where you could have a very simple frame on the world. Now, all these different things are going to result in numerous people around you who are struggling to manage economically or emotionally, or have become corrupt or angry or violent. Okay, all of that adds up into results in a highly incoherent and chaotic environment. And so you have to, that's an environment where you can't just depend on the field to be there for you. Because fields are breaking down, you have to invent your own world, your own field, and you've got to nurture and grow it. And you've got to determine, one of my favorite scriptures is, faith is the substance of things hoped for and not yet seen. You have to pour out the faith that will provide the building blocks of the kind of world you want to live in and the kind of world you want to attract. So there's lots of opportunity mixed in with the lawlessness, but there's also plenty of unfairness and meanness, but you have to set the tone and the mind. The environment is not going to organize to support you in most cases. It's going to have to come from you. This is an environment that requires significantly greater individual responsibility than the environment has called for many, many decades. One of my favorite expressions, as you know, is, if we can face it, God can fix it. Dr. Farrell and I discussed that the positive in what's happening is the infection is coming to the surface, as he describes in our part one interview, so the boil can be lanced. The middle of the road's going away. You got to get out of the middle of the road. My watchword for 2020 for myself comes from Jordan Peterson: get your own house in order. And this is a great time to stay focused on becoming a better you and doing everything you can to get your own house in order. You know, I look around, whether it's my life or my house, There's so many things I want to do, not to mention the 400 books that are sitting in the den and library that I want to read. I'm very focused on making sure my house is in order, and I see plenty of opportunity. And the beauty in this environment of not getting distracted by the extraordinary things going around you is that by staying focused on your house, you getting your own house in order, you get something done, no matter what comes down. Money and markets, $17 trillion of global capital gains in 2019. Many people who benefited think things are just hunky-dory. The rich got much richer. It's the benefit of being in real things, whether it's gold, land, and real estate stocks. There's no doubt about it. The capital gains were huge. The year to market, I'm going to give you the year to market as of the Tuesday close, so for 2019. But I want to point out that the market went risk off today after the announcement of the airstrike, our killing of an Iranian general in Baghdad, so in Iraq. Oil and gold up, stock futures down, and we'll talk about this later on. But this is a very significant action on the part of President Trump, an airstrike killing a very powerful Iranian general, said to be one of the most powerful people in Iran. This will not go unnoticed. So again, I'm going to give you total returns for the year, so that's including interest and dividends. U.S. dollar index basically flat for the year. It was up 34 basis points by the end of the year, so basically flat. It's been headed down, but turned up after the announcement of the assassination of the Iranian general in Baghdad. Just a subscriber wrote this week, Catherine, have you seen the daily chart for the DXY? That's the U.S. dollar. There's a head and shoulder formation on the daily time frame. The neckline support has been broken, so it looks like it could fall to 95. 99.67 was the dollar's recent high. I wonder if all the money the Fed's pumped into the repo market might have something to do with it. Ask Rambus to take a serious look. I've asked Rambus to take a serious look. One theory is the global dollar debt and Brexit impact on the euro will protect reserve currency status. The alternative theory is that de-dollarization can go faster than you think. If you haven't listened to my state of the currency, you might want to listen to that. Anyway, I think it's very important that we need to be prepared for a strong dollar this year or a significant decline this year. It could go either way. A lot of it depends on the real military state of play, as well as the speed at which thousands of de-dollarization mechanisms build their channel into significant market share. Unfortunately, a lot of what we're doing to preserve the dollar simply increases the incentives for all these different de-dollarization mechanisms to kick in and go to play. Again, if you haven't listened to the State of the Currency, that might help, and I'll be writing that up and getting that out as soon as we finish publishing the annual wrap-up. I'll say more on this in the equity overview, which we'll publish on January 16th. It's important to understand that both scenarios, whether it's a strong dollar or weak dollar, will require dramatically more resilience in you and me. Anybody in the dollar bubble zone, but particularly North America, what the leadership is going to do to protect the dollar, whether it's war or depopulation or any of these, or cutting back entitlements, could be worse for many people in the general population than a weak dollar. This is not going to be a financial adjustment. It's first and foremost going to be a political adjustment, and that political adjustment could not be friendly. So fixed income last year, TLT, the long treasury, up 14.12%. That's an astonishing performance. And remember, it went as high as 22% during the year and then fell back. IEF, the intermediate treasury ETF, up 8%. The bond aggregate up 8.46%. And high yield up 14.87%. That's astonishing given the huge squeeze in the high yield corporate markets ahead. And it speaks to the extraordinary nature of what we all call the central bank put, which is the extent to which central banks can be depended on just to print, particularly the Fed. If you look at the commodity chart in the web presentation in the financial market section, just look at the commodity chart and you'll see that the VIX is off the charts, nowhere. I mean, it's the lowest. It's the, it just shows you it's risk off, risk off, risk off. But take a look at the VIX index for the year. I think it's the down the most of anything. Equities, the S&P total return of 31.22%. The U.S. again significantly outperformed Europe and Asia. And it reflects the potential impact of both new technology and the global fiat currency bubble, including the dollar bubble first and foremost. Think of this as a combination land rush, technology rush, and there's a giant sucking sound throughout the economy because with a PE of approximately 19 to 1 on average in the S&P, everybody's looking for every dime of income they can get to generate those capital, that $17 trillion of capital gains. It's a sucking sound on the real economy. To give you an example of how sort of desperate it got, Amazon cancels healthcare for part-time Whole Foods employees. Whew! That's after, you know, Bezos was part of the group that just signed the Business Roundtable big announcement on social responsibility. You know, who's zooming whom here? Another example, the pressure for vaccine mandates that generate profits for Big Pharma and the CDC is very ugly what's going on there. Pressure for late-term abortions, given the need for fetal tissue for pharma and biotech, including for the fetal tissue for vaccines. Pretty disgusting. And then we saw, of course, the Fed pivot as another example of price corrections in the stock market are just not tolerated. We can't afford to let the stock market correct more than a little itty-bitty points. Zero Hedge had an apology in their wrap-up for the year. They apologized for talking much more about geopolitics than financial markets, but they pointed out there are no markets left, just politics. And I agree. I think you can't, we're watching a real integration of government with rigged markets, and it's an extraordinary picture, but it means we spend a lot of time talking about the integration of money and politics. The home builders flying a 41.3% for the year. There is definitely a land rush on. Some of this was lower interest rates, but there's a housing bubble on its way. If you look at what the Treasury has proposed for the privatization of Freddie and Fannie, they're planning on handing out the ability to issue full faith and credit paper to Freddie, Fannie, and all their large competitors. It's pretty frightening. What Treasury needs is to float lots of full faith and credit paper around the globe. It's all part of keeping the dollar the reserve currency. And to do that, the Treasury need the millennials buying housing to kind of float the scam. Meantime, the millennials haven't begun to form households the way the boomers have. They're about 8 years behind the boomers. And so a great effort is going to be made to get them to play. If you look also at the money coming in and the profits to be made on opportunity zones, 5G and the Internet of Things, to a certain extent, the opportunity zones are there to help build out. And I think lower energy prices are definitely on the way. So all of these things combine to make for a very profitable land rush for the right players. We also see Congress last month pass the SECURE Act that's going to allow place-based multi-employer retirement plans. And depending on how they use that in combination with housing and real estate bubbles, you're going to see you're going to see credit galore. To get a sense of what's up and what's driving this land rush, I would encourage you to watch a speech that's in both part one and part two of the top videos at the web presentation for News Trends and Stories. A retired Air Force General, General Quast, gave a speech lobbying for the U.S. Space Force, which was approved by Congress in December. And he describes some of the technology in very dazzling terms that will explain to you why there's a land rush in connection with a rush to put up satellites. It's all about the energy price and the Internet of Things. Anyway, check it out. VGK, the European ETF, up 24.85%, still a dazzling performance, but about 6 points behind the S&P. Developed markets minus North America up 22%, Germany up 19.15%, so obviously very strong. The fiat currency bubble is everywhere. The euro was down slightly for the year on Brexit, sterling up slightly. The dollar promoters very much need the euro to be weak, so that the I think the covert currency war is taking an even more serious win-lose mode, unless the United States can get Europe to support them with a push for a war for Iran. There was a very frightening comment by one of the Israeli generals referring to when Israel and the U.S. go to war with Iran. Let's just hope they're cooler heads at the Joint Chiefs. If you look at Richard Haass, the council head of Council on Foreign Relations, tweeted out a comment. What did he say? Make no mistake, any war with Iran will not look like the 1990 Gulf War, the 2003 Iraq Wars. It will be fought throughout the region with a wide range of tools, vs. a wide range of civilian, economic, and military targets. The region and possibly the world will be the battlefield. What Haass is saying, sort of the tone of that world, what he's saying is this could start World War III. China was up 14.87%. That's the large cap. Small caps up 13.98%. Obviously, one of the most important economic developments is the struggle rebalancing the U.S.-China relationship. That's going to continue for many years to come. It took a long time to get the codependency as strong as it is, and it's going to take a long time to change and rebalance it. Trump says the first round of negotiations is going to be signed up on January 15th, and then he's headed to China for further negotiations, and so we'll see if that happens. But expect this tug of war to go on for a long time, and of course, any war with Iran is sort of a proxy for the struggle between the U.S. and China. The frontier markets are up even more than emerging markets, interestingly enough, and that's a reminder that the Silk Road in Africa are growing at fantastic rates, and they're going to be coming into the stock market as well. The commodities index was up 9.41% at the end of the year, but I bet today it's up more. Oil was certainly skyrocketing. So was gold. Gold ended the year up 17.86%, silver up 14.88%. The gold and silver performance is quite respectable given the Fed put operating. And I think it's likely to have another respectable year in 2020 at a minimum. So it's really, a lot of what's going to happen this year comes down to how much liquidity the Fed and central banks add in a U.S. election year. Oil was up, depending on which chart you look at, or indicator you look at, index you look at, up 30 to 46%, and up more again at the beginning of the year on the announcement from Baghdad. So look for a longer review on the equity overview and Rambus Chartology on January 16th. So let's turn to the top stories. I want to start with food and health. I think food and health is going to be, if you're going to put your house in order, this is where you want to make a significant investment of your time in 2020. The most important action you can take is to build very strong resilience around food, water, and health. We're clearly watching a global Farmageddon, every effort meant to centralize control of the food system. One of the most popular videos I put up this year was a drone view of German farmers driving their tractors en masse to Berlin on November 26th. It's in the top videos, and it's in my Twitter feed. It's on the website. You're watching very extraordinary pushback, well organized by German, Dutch, and French farmers, and Belgian farmers too, pushback against stupid climate change rules. And the farmers understand the extraordinary danger of the effort to centrally control. And they're pushing back very hard in Europe, much harder than the U.S. farmers, who don't appear to be anywhere near as well organized. But if you look at sort of the COINTELPRO that's been worked against the farmers for several decades, there's a reason why. And they've been up against much meaner, trickier covert operations starting in the 70s. So this has been going on a long, long time. I think European farmers live in a much safer, secure environment. Big issue is plant food. There has been a tremendous effort during 2019, both in the investment community and the consumer community, to persuade everybody to replace meat with plant food. This is highly engineered food. Two of the companies often named are Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods. I got a question this week. Let me start by wishing all Solari readers, employees, subscribers, and of course, wonderful Catherine, a most happy, healthy, and prosperous new year, 2020. I read a very good article below about food rationing. There have always been vegans and vegetarians, but the push now in California seems to be to eat plant-based foods rather than meat. Every restaurant here, even the fast food places, seem to buy into the idea that meat is bad, with trendy phases such as Beyond Meat and Planet First. Since so many farmers are being directed into not farming anymore unless the government is in on it, I wonder if this pushes the start of food rationing, according to a government that is trying to tell me what to eat. Then when there is a population, when the population is no longer interested in beef or animal products, the bottom will be pulled out. Very interested in your opinion on this, Catherine. I think there are a couple things going on. One is they're trying to deal with significant inflation, and by replacing meat with plant-based food, particularly processed or engineered, one of the things that you can do is keep the food budget the same. If everybody was eating meat, the prices would be skyrocketing. So part of it is I think you're trying to offset monetary inflation. So remember, for many, many years, we've offset monetary inflation with labor deflation on globalization. Now the question is, the globalization play is over, what's next? And to a certain extent, you're using climate change and Save the Planet as the replacement. I don't think it's going to work, but before it fails, you're going to see enormous incoherence. So the push for plant-based food, among other things, a way to offset the price inflation. There was a major push last year in the investment world to sell investors on all the exciting possibilities of companies like Impossible Foods, which is still private, or Beyond Meat, which is publicly traded. We saw an article that I published on at the News Trends and Stories at Solari Report, but is also in my Twitter feed, a doctor in the Dakotas writing up his explanation on why the estrogen in the Impossible Burger at Burger King has 18 million times the amount of estrogen as the Whopper Burger, which is the common burger at Burger King, which raises the question, why would a large corporation be pushing burgers to kids with enough estrogen in it to qualify as hormone replacement if you wanted to transgender a boy from into a girl? So at one point when I tweeted out the article by the South Dakota doctor, I think it was South Dakota, I also tweeted out the page from Wikipedia that describes the quantities needed for a hormonal replacement strategy. So I started to refer to this burger, it's called the Impossible Burger, as the biowarfare burger, because I think you're talking about basically drugging children without their knowledge or consent, or their parents' knowledge or consent. And it was interesting. One of the things Farrell and I talked about is there fetal tissue or other human ingredients getting into the food supply? We had one person on the internet put out a discussion of Impossible Foods headquarters, which is right across the street from a Planned Parenthood in an industrial park in Silicon Valley. It's also next to a Cargill office and next to a Teva Pharmaceuticals, which is the largest, really, pharmaceutical company. And you kind of look at the building and look at what's around and say, I don't know about this. It's amazing that the building has absolutely no signage on it. So you have no way, when you look at the picture, of knowing that it's Impossible Foods, no windows. And you think, what in the world is going on there? So I'm very concerned about what's really in this food and whether it's safe to eat or not. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And part of my problem is at this point, I've had so many bad experiences with regulators or corporations that my attitude is it's not trustworthy until you can prove it to me. And on something like this, I don't see, this is very processed food. One of the book reviews I did in the last year or so was China RX on the enormous deterioration in the pharmaceutical supplies as a result of drugs coming, or ingredients for pharmaceuticals coming from China, and real quality control issues. Another ringing of the bell about sort of food safety or health safety. In the Twitter feed, I had somebody in my Twitter feed tweet out from Illinois, assisted living or nursing home, I wasn't sure which, saying that they had, she was on a floor with 44 patients. From July to October, they had no deaths. In October, they were required to all take the flu shot. And between October and December, when she tweeted, there had been 14 deaths out of the 44. And I've seen that before, where a flu shot just destroys somebody's immune system. It killed one of my best friends in 2010 and was very devastating to experience because I couldn't talk her out of taking the flu shot, but it had been integrated with a swine flu shot, and she'd been managing cancer for many, many years. She was basically doing a very successful job of managing it. She took that shot, wham, her immune system just went, and the cancer went wild. The FDA has approved the Merck Ebola vaccine. You know, we see Gates constantly warning about an Ebola epidemic or an epidemic. And one of our discussions with Farrell and I in part two is the epidemic op. If there are real concerns about controlling the population and they're not getting the vaccine mandates that they want and people are getting too smart too fast, could you see them do an epidemic op using Ebola? You bet your bottom dollar they would do it. And I think the vaccine would be much more dangerous than the, whether real or fake, epidemic. So you're going to have to decide what that means to you and how you handle it. That's part of being resilient. We have an interview with Laura Thompson in the library about what to do if you have to take a vaccine. I've heard of some doctors recommending intravenous vitamin C and other vitamins if you're forced to take one. You should also be prepared to start detoxing right away. So something on what to do if you do take a vaccine is in the library, and also great discussion with Thompson on detox. And I've asked Bridget to do more in wellness this year. We've seen a mini epidemic op with measles. I'm convinced that the measles, so quote-unquote, outbreaks were engineered. But obviously, Ebola is going to a whole new level. But I said at one point to one person, they said, oh, well, they'll do Africa first. Well, they've done Africa. I'm concerned that if the consciousness is rising quickly, that's the kind of tactic that they might use. So please just be thinking about what your plan is. I think anything you can do to help the groups that are making a difference here, whether it's Bobby Kennedy's group or the VAX team, Autism Action Network, any of these groups are critical. And also working at a state level to make sure that your legislators stand up and don't start mandating stupid things and get run over by these different efforts. So given what's happening today and the push to deal with inflation and the U.S. federal budget challenges, the chances of further significant deterioration in food and health safety and the related infrastructure is very significant. So this is a time, as you're thinking about your sort of money and time budget for 2020, I want you to really take action. First of all, start. When you're buying food, see the food in the original state. Try and buy food where you can really see, oh yeah, it was a head of lettuce, or it was a, you know, it was a rib of or a rack of lamb. So I want you to see the food in the original state. Whatever you can do to get access to well water or excellent filtering and structuring equipment for your water, water is very, very important. So anything you can do to source food locally or sources that you and your know personally. This Christmas, I'd been told about a group of ranchers up on the Panhandle who were organizing to sell and market and sell online. And I thought, oh, you know, they just started, I think, this year or very recently. So on Christmas, I said, I'm going to go to their store and order some meat so that when I get home from Pennsylvania, I'm going to have some meat I can trust. And I went to the store. Everything was sold out. I thought, wow. Okay, ranchers, get online, start selling retail. If you don't know the local Weston Price Club in your area, that may be a great place to meet people who are really plugged into great food locally. Most places have farmers markets now. It's a way to meet and figure out how to find food locally. Support restaurants that buy local. The more money you have flowing to the different farmers who are marketing retail, that's what you need. You need to just constantly get more and more dollars flowing to them. And reminds me of what Roger Penske once said. He said, speed costs money. How fast do you want to go? Anyway, you want to get as much money flowing into building a local and resilient food supply as possible. Ediblecommunities.com, that's a chain of magazines that sort of help people find their local food sources. If you've got an Edible Communities magazine in your area, you might think about subscribing to it. But if you don't, there are other similar magazines. I just spent some time at the lovely home of one of our smartest subscribers, and they had started a grow room. And I've read and heard about grow rooms. I've watched videos about grow rooms, but I've never sort of seen one, let alone had the opportunity to eat one. And I have to say the food was fantastic. Microgreens, lots of microgreens and micronutrients. I was amazed at how much food you can grow in a grow room indoors. And if you look at all the safety issues of spraying and other things outdoors, we fight a lot with pests and deer where I am. I'm very interested in grow rooms, so I've bought some books, and I'm hoping we can do a Solari report in grow rooms, because I was very inspired by her success in a very short period of time. Quite an extraordinary operation, what she's got going. Orchards, you know, I keep planting trees, so plant orchards because it's the gift that keeps on giving, and of course gardens as well. You might want to consider buying farmland as a good investment, especially if you can lease it to farmers. It can't hurt to organize into a local group. There's a lot can be done to buy in bulk or have livestock raised for you if you get a group of people together, make big orders wholesale. And certainly this year, stockpile non-perishables, particularly at sales times. A lot of sales in January. It's a great time to stockpile. So I would definitely make a big effort to stockpile. There is a video from that a wonderful subscriber sent. It's an 8-minute excerpt from an interview from Klinghart about the big picture of what he thinks is happening to people's health. And it's a must watch. We'll put the link up in This Money in Markets. One of the things I've learned is that if you need help with your health, you want to get yourself educated and identify and build the relationships way ahead of when you need the help. For those of you who have the time and resources, it's not a bad idea to start creating healthcare alternatives if you're not in a safe jurisdiction. And I would certainly say, from a health standpoint, the U.S. is not a safe jurisdiction. If you have the time and resources available to create health resources in other jurisdictions that are much safer, now's a good time to figure out where that is and how to do it and get it done. It would be a great investment. And so make food and health and food and health resiliency really at the top of your New Year's resolutions. Inflation. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Be prepared for significant inflation. We have been seeing in the United States 8 to 14% annual increase in the basic household cost of goods. And I don't see as high a rate of inflation in Europe, but in other parts of the sort of Commonwealth countries, but it's definitely high. I think it could just figure maybe in a serious decline of the dollar case, it could double. So be prepared, for example, if you're in the United States, for 8 to 14%. In the best case, up to 16 to 28% in the worst case. The next, beware the occult. Interdimensional intelligence is real. Some people think it's just a field phenomena. I think it's an interdimensional phenomena. But you can either attract light and love. You can also attract darkness. Don't do it. Please beware of online apps or practices that encourage you to play around with the occult. You're seeing people have started sending me articles and other materials about efforts to get kids involved in the occult. This is can be very dangerous. It's interesting. Gordon White is someone I respect tremendously. I think he's very intelligent. I love his writing. He had a great book I was dying to recommend, but I got to one of the last chapters, and he encourages you to go stand in the middle of the road and invite the devil to come meet you. And he thought it was quite funny. I didn't think it was funny. I think it was very, very dangerous. So really be careful about what you invite in. Remember, in a period when the field breaks down, you know, we've all been protected by a shared intelligence field. The field breaks down, that means you are not protected. And all sorts of these sort of interdimensional intelligences can come in. It's another reason why it's so important to nurture and build your field, because you are trying to define, again, what you attract. But I found myself shocked several times this week because I had highly intelligent subscribers and colleagues think it's okay to play around with this stuff. And it's the same or a similar danger with pornography. If you're, or certain kinds of online activities, especially because you've got covert forces and entrainment at play, you know, this stuff opens you up to all sorts of sort of interdimensional shenanigans. So make sure you are very, very careful what energies you're allowing in and around you or in you. There are, your computer can get viruses, but your spirit can get viruses too. So we're seeing more and more signs sort of around politics that you have to participate in the occult, including some pretty gruesome stuff to play at the top. Just avoid it. Let the Midianites ultimately kill themselves. You don't need to get involved in any of that stuff. Okay, avoid distraction. The impeachment is a major, major distraction. We are watching a significant number of what I suspect are dual passport citizens. Again, the information is secret, so I'm guessing. Who are on both sides of the squeeze. They've got the president in a squeeze. The more the president has been in the squeeze, suddenly Netanyahu, despite being indicted, is back, having won his party's primary, and again a contender to stay alive. He's asking his legislature to pass immunity. This is pretty scary. We have Vanity Fair writing an article saying that this squeeze has allowed Kushner to basically run the White House, basically reporting to what I would describe as the Ziocons, or Cynthia McKinney describes as the Ziocons. The airstrike against Iran that was ordered by Trump is scary. This is pretty serious. We had an Israeli general recently, I tweeted it out and posted it, discussing when, quote, we go to war with Iran as if it was a fait accompli. And my guess is the putting Trump in the squeeze of the impeachment is part of getting him to go to war with Iran. My other question, of course, is how much money is going missing, just like last time. But this time with FASB 56, the sky's the limit. The Democrats have clearly shot themselves in the foot politically with the impeachment. They don't have a viable candidate. There's rumors that Clinton is trying to get people to ask her to jump in. She will jump in if she's not that smart, but, you know, if she's smart, she'll stay out, but it's possible she'll jump in. As of today, even if Clinton jumps in, I think Trump will win the election, and the impeachment ultimately will have helped. Please appreciate that nobody went after him on the real deal, whether it was his relationships with the Russian mob or Kushner's Qatar deal. The question is whether the impeachment process will squeeze so much out of him that the White House is completely run by the Ziocons, and now with FASB 56 in place, they can just steal everything that's left. If you voted for Trump last time around, then we now find ourselves with a later day version of what we were trying to avoid with Hillary Clinton, and a later day version of what we got with Bill Clinton after he got squeezed by the impeachment by a remarkably similar cast of characters. It was on the Democratic side instead of Republican side. What do we have? We got FASB 56. We have private mercenaries and special forces engineering corporate profits around the world. we have prioritization of the most dangerous kind, and in a second term, on either Democrat or Republican, it's going to get much worse. And then we have Treasury probably being emptied out of the back door, and Treasury proposing to give the power to issue full faith and credit to private corporations with essentially what I think will turn out to be no oversight. So there's no way the administration can do all of this alone. This is a bipartisan Congress. So the bipartisan Congress has been basically distracting all of us while they and their pals are stealing everything. Given what's happening, it doesn't surprise me that we have acceleration against the dollar that is very significant. Now, what will happen to the dollar depends on the reality of military, not just of the U.S., but whatever breakaway and advanced civilizations are floating around the planet, they probably have the military upper hand. And so the question comes down to, what do they want? The world is not trying to get away from the U.S. They're trying to get away from the military-industrial complex and the real people who seem to have control of it right now. It's a very dangerous place, and it's getting much more dangerous. We also have protests all over the world, and I suspect a lot of it comes down to food prices and technocracy. The Hong Kong kids taking down the facial recognition and wearing masks is a perfect example. There is real backlash all over the planet against surveillance, capitalism, and control. And if you're getting hit by much higher food prices after you've had all the bailouts and financial fraud, people have real reason to be quite angry. One person in their year-end review said, "Here come the pitchforks." France, we see major protests in France. The French electricians, God love them, shut down electricity at the French Central Bank. When I went back to get that story, it had been taken down. It's a doozy, and I think it's an important one. I think it's important that people who print out fake money at French central banks and central banks around the world need to remember that they depend on a variety of people to clean their offices, get the water and sewer systems to run, and the electricity to run. And without those things running, their whole operation just shuts down. So you can't print digital money if there's no electricity. So the French electricians have sent a very powerful and important message. We all need to hear it. Macron, the part of the French protests are a roll-up of 40-plus pension funds in France. And Macron said, finally, he would forego his pension fund. Somebody tweeted back and said, yeah, and he'll have legislation explained to them that he's not allowed to do that. He has to take his pension fund. You'll see how it works. But the European space budget this year is up 75%, so there's no money for pension funds. But the European space budget is up 75%. And that's the script I've been telling you for the last decade, that they want to swap money out of education for the young and nursing homes for the elderly and into space. And there you have it. One of the reasons I've stuck with the missing money story as hard as I have is the time would come when that story, if you put it on the table in the right way, would give real negotiating power. That's why it's so important to me that many, many, many people keep that story alive and get it in front of their federal, state, and local representatives. And it's why there's such an effort to suppress it. We just had a letter from a subscriber today. Let me read it to you. "Dear Catherine, I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. This is my first time writing to you. I followed your work for the last several years, mostly through YouTube interviews, and finally became a Solari subscriber this year. I wanted to report to you an account of my attempt to engage an American political think tank member of the issue of missing money. Please indulge me. I will try to make it as concise as possible. My brief history: I'm from Japan, but called the U.S. my home for about 11 of my student years. Then since my late 20s, I lived in Latin America for another decade before returning to Japan this year. A family member of mine attends a graduate program called Global Studies at a university in Tokyo, a well-regarded school. The entire program is taught in English by both Japanese and foreign professors, and attended by students from all over the world. A few weeks ago, one asked me to come along to a lecture by an American speaker who belongs to X Foundation and Y Council." I'm just putting X and Y in there to protect the not so innocent. "He was there to discuss the upcoming 2020 election. The event was held in a classroom, and attended by about 30 people, mostly foreign students and faculty, some Japanese. The speaker was very cagey about what exactly he does, but apparently is a Democratic Party analyst consultant of sort and claims to travel around the world speaking to politicians, military personnel, and other experts, and is currently advising a, quote, certain candidate. He requested the talk of the evening be off the record, not to quote him anywhere, and somewhat paranoically made sure there was no one in the media in the audience. Frankly, I couldn't care less about this narcissistic, erudite analyst, but just out of courtesy, I will not mention his name here. He opened the talk by saying, "You may be surprised by what I'm going to say," then followed with inside information that I mostly already knew or guessed, like we're not going back to a pre-Trump era. Trump is breaking all the taboos. Trump has done some productive things, etc. Much of his talk went along this line, but there was some information that was actually enlightening to me. For example, Trump's Twitter about his desire to buy Greenland was based on a real independence movement boiling up underneath among the population of the island, according to him. After speaking for about 40 minutes, he took questions from the audience. Most questions were regarding geopolitics and Trump's style of governance. Then I gathered my courage and asked mine, which was, "Are you familiar with Michigan State University's Dr. Mark Skidmore's study of missing $21 trillion from the Department of Defense and HUD? And if so, do you think if this issue will ever become part of the political discourse?" To which he replied, "No, I don't. What is this about?" So I explained briefly of your discovery as well as Dr. Skidmore's investigation using his grad students. His American professor friend who invited the speaker interrupted, quote, "This is off topic. Next question," quote. My question was the only one rejected that night. I couldn't tell if the speaker genuinely didn't know or was just playing dumb. The professor, on the other hand, looked visibly annoyed and stared in my direction for a while. I did not pursue the matter any further. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you about the incident. Since my average countrymen don't keenly follow American politics and current events, healthy probably, I rarely have the opportunity to discuss this sort of thing with my friends or family. So I took the chance to engage these American experts. The result was disappointing, but also revealing, perhaps. All in all, it is quite frustrating that this type of discourse must follow only the information fed by the mainstream media, and those so-called experts assume that that's the extent of audiences' knowledge. Thank you for all your work, insights, and wisdom. Look forward to future Soleri content. Finally, I wish you and your Soleri team a happy new year. You too, I very much appreciate the question and the information. Over the last year, I've been slandered by numerous Washington experts, including a member of CBO. What I'm saying, what they say is that what I'm saying about the missing money, you ready for this, is not credible because I have a section on the website called Unanswered Questions, and it is represented by an image of the pyramid. The extent to which they all bring up the pyramid tells me proof positive that there's a central playbook that's being read and fed out to all the parties when they have to deal with this. What I can tell is there's been a very significant information or investment in a sort of a whisper campaign and media campaign to stop or kill this story. And it's been going on now pretty extraordinary length for about 2.5 years. Now, I've lived through this many, many, many times before, but it's very hard for our subscribers to understand how significant and wide this is. If you look at the year-end reviews of so many people in the independent financial media who all got copies, complimentary copies of The Real Deal and Missing Money, other than Greg Hunter and Rob Kirby, not one of them mentioned it. They didn't even cover. Now, it's possible they don't understand how significant it is, particularly FASB 56, but I think too many of them are too smart. So I think they're not mentioning it because they're afraid. And I think they're not mentioning it because they're on a leash of various kinds. So I had one subscriber who was shocked that Jim Rickards said, "Oh, it's just accounting, it's nothing." Well, Rickards is disinformation. He's on a leash. He's always been on a leash. I don't believe a word Rickards says, and I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I've seen him pull too many of these stunts, but I was shocked that the subscriber was shocked, because I come back again. There's news, there's entertainment, there's disinformation, and there's actionable intelligence. And there are very, very few people who are actionable intelligence, or they keep their actionable intelligence within sort of a limited modified Hangout framework, a framework that won't upset, you know, a variety of different people. So, and it's funny, I can always tell sort of where your lines are if you won't touch the FASB 56. And it was, interestingly enough, it was Matt Taibbi who wrote a big piece and did a great job on FASB 56. I assumed it was going to be a limited modified Hangout. It wasn't. It was the real deal. He did a great job, to my shock and amazement. Credit to his editors that they let him do it, but it's one of very few and far between. I sent the real deal on missing money to complimentary copies to over 100 investors and media. I haven't gotten one contact or one question. Now, the best way for this to spread is not through any of those people. The best way is hundreds of people lobbying their federal, state, and local representatives and getting it out to the people who are responsible for taking care of your money, whether it's your banker, your insurance agent, your money manager. It's really important to educate people and work this bottom up at the sort of at the grassroots level. We need to make it impossible not to talk about it. We need to make this way too common a subject for anybody to be concerned about bringing it up. So just keep posting it in comments, keep writing letters, keep asking at the town hall meeting. This can make a huge difference politically if we put this on the table at the right time. Because they can't say, oh, well, there's no money for pension funds. There's no money for college education. There's no money for these things. You know, it doesn't work that way. If we can put the $21 trillion on the table, you know, we're back in the game. It's the old line from Jacques Ewing in the TV series Dallas. Nobody gives you power, boy. You take it. So we're going to have to do this if we want power at the table. We are publishing between now and the end of the U.S. presidential campaign a poster every week. If you haven't checked out the My 21 2020 campaign, the latest poster is always at the top of the Twitter feed and on the homepage. And you can link, there's a page at Missing Money that you link to that has all the posters from the beginning. And they're great. There's so many fabulous things. If you want a great laugh, if you're feeling down and want a great laugh, go look at the My 21 2020 and listen to the Missing Money song that Mark Skidmore's daughter wrote. It's adorable. Australian fires. We published a wonderful document last week in a commentary on Australian fires by an Australian subscriber who's been following. This was as of a week ago. The amount of area burnt was twice the size of Hawaii as of last week. And we continue to see significant burning continuing. Of course, the big question in many people's mind, is this natural or not? There are a significant amount of the areas burned are remote, but natural or unnatural from everything I've seen so far, I don't have enough information, but either is possible. If these fires are not natural, then I would say it's a sign there's going to be a very significant number of wealthy, powerful people who are planning on relocating to Australia. If we're going to start a war with Iran, then I suspect Iran is capable of building nuclear weapons at a fairly rapid speed. We know Israel has a nuclear arsenal. We know the Pentagon has just announced recently that it wants the ability to use low-yield nuclear weapons. And there's no doubt if you're living in Europe and wealthy, I could see why a large number of wealthy Europeans and Asians might want to get out of the Northern Hemisphere and into the Southern Hemisphere. So if these fires are not natural, then I would expect to see very, very significant development on the eastern side of Australia. Anyway, I'm asking for prayers, is that if you look at the devastation to the land, the animals, the people in those areas and near those areas is very significant. And there's significant smoke and tremendous grief in Sydney. There's lots of love for many of the areas burning. And you get the same sense of terror as in Northern California, that something deeply unnatural and terrifying is happening. There was just an article I posted estimating that 500 million animals had been killed by these fires. And you can imagine the grief in the Australian field from that. Whatever's happening, unfortunately, we're going to keep hearing that it's climate change. Climate change is the magic op that wipes out everything. It wipes out disaster capitalism. It wipes out weather warfare. It wipes out monetary inflation. It wipes out corruption. It wipes out secrecy. Just blame everything on climate change. There's no need to change the governance structure. It has nothing to do with the governance structure or central control or invisible and secret technology and budgets. No, it's all from climate change. We're just going to give more power to the existing governance structure to deal with climate change because they've done such a great job of managing so far, because all the problems that exist are as a result of climate change. You know, it's so extraordinarily arrogant that you just can't believe it's working. But it is. Let's just keep sticking with the truth and see where we get. Brexit is not going to be hard. It's going to be sticky. Johnson has gotten a deal agreed to. It's nowhere near as different from May's deal as many of the four Brexit campaigners are for, but it's going to be a long, slow process of the UK's sort of departing from the European Union, really. And the question is, at the end of the day, is it going to be really? I wanted to just note the collapse of South Africa. It's worth taking a look. You have such a breakdown in the electrical systems and infrastructure that it's literally shutting down whole parts of the economy. And it's a reminder of what happens when politics control the utility systems rather than productivity or market forces. And when I say politics, I don't just mean the local politics, but the politics of people who want you to collapse. You sort of wonder, after they collapse, who's going to go in there and pick up the resources cheap? So there's some kind of game going on in South Africa, but it's a reminder of why you can't let politics get in the way of productivity and performance, which is definitely happening in the United States. If you want a perfect example in the news this week, just look at the saga for the last year of Boeing. When we do the equity overview, we'll go into our scenarios. We have four scenarios for 2020. It'll be in the Get Ready section in the web presentation. And in that section, when we publish it on January 16th, there will be a calendar of big events in 2020 so that you can take a look at sort of what's rolling out in different categories for the year. And I love to have a calendar going forward of the big events to sort of keep track of what's coming. Anyway, all those scenarios will be up when we publish that part of the wrap-up on the third Thursday. Again, next week is going to be part two of News Trends and Story. Our hero of the year, which we've been announcing all year long, is none other than Leonardo da Vinci. This was the year of Da Vinci, the 500th anniversary of his passing. We had a great time on this one. We had to do something as good as the crowdfund for Dr. Ferrell to sort of enrich in our cultural experience this year. If you take a look at the hero page on the web presentation, we put up all the links to the Food for Soul columns that Nina Hein wrote on Da Vinci, as well as two interviews she did in Milan, and then a great discussion that Ulrich Groniker, Nina, and I had in Paris in October after we had visited the Da Vinci exhibit at the Louvre. And Robert Duper did a fabulous job of putting in pictures of all the different paintings and artworks that we were discussing, and it's real great eye candy. So check it out on the 2019 Hero of the Year page. And so I just want to say a final thank you to Leonardo da Vinci for all the extraordinary things he did for us in 2019. If you go to Milan and talk to people, they talk about Leonardo as if he's still living today, and they're interacting with him today because they are. His work is so powerful and so life-giving. It continues to enrich. And Leonardo, they talk about him like he's alive and next door, because in Milan, he is. It's great. Our blast from the past is a old piece I wrote. It's in the library called Turtle Forth. You can link to it from the Money and Markets. It's great advice for a highly incoherent, uncertain environment. One of my favorite quotes from Caroline Casey is, "Our circumstances are far too dire for the luxury of realism. And when the field is jerking around or breaking down like this, it's so important to, in one sense, completely ignore the change and uncertainty and just turtle forward, because action is the force multiplier. Action is the force multiplier. It attracts great stuff in the field. So learn, try things." And I have a big sort of the quote from John Cage that I love, the musician, up on my refrigerator: begin anywhere. Since I constantly have to learn new fields, new worlds, new industry, new languages, there was a great moment. I was buying a newspaper at the in the Zurich train station in the summer, and some guy looks at me and he says, "You have to learn German." And I thought, oh God, he's right. And so I thought, what should I do? And that just came to me, begin anywhere. So there I was, you know, that while I was on the train at YouTube University, starting to learn German. Let's go to the movies. Our movie of the year for 2019 is a riveting TV series named Yellowstone. I'd seen the trailer, but it didn't occur to me to watch it, even though I'm a great Kevin Costner fan. And in late November, one of the members of the Solari team bought me the season one and season two to Yellowstone and said, "You gotta watch it." So I did, and especially the second season, which aired in 2019, had such remarkable insights regarding the nature of the American land and resource wars that we are experiencing. It's sort of what I call the real deal on going local, and lots of deep state tactics included. So I'm going to bring it up again when I discuss deep state tactics. The global land rushes on, and the more the central banks print money and the higher the stock market goes, let alone the lower the energy price grows and the larger the population grows, the more violent the land rush is going to get. There's a great line at one point in this where John Dutton, who's the character played by Kevin Costner, turns to the sheriff and he says, "There's a war going on and the time has come for you to choose sides." And that's a moment that we're all going to experience. The middle of the road is going away and there's a war going on. And unfortunately, it's not just one war, because there's multiple wars. It's no longer the government that's sovereign in many different areas. You have multiple non-governmental actors, you know, with private intelligence firms and covert operations and armies doing all sorts of crazy things. There's definitely a war going on, and there is a real breakdown in law and order that you're seeing around the world and in the United States. And we're all going to have to decide, you know, which side we're on. So it's not just about, I mean, Yellowstone's about a large landowner in Montana, but if you look at all the feedback I'm getting from across the world, it's about people getting pushed out with mortgage entrapment and corrupt servicing, engineered crime, electronic harassment, arson, murder, having their kids kidnapped or threatened, used in pedophilia or entrained. I believe just from what I'm tracking, it's happening more or less in every county in America. It's nowhere near as bad in most places that I stay in Europe, but this is happening globally. Saker said the number one issue in the U.S. presidential campaign this year would be the rule of law. And unfortunately, I've yet to see a candidate who truly believes and practices the rule of law, because I don't think they think they can. So the question is, where is the group of people who are going to insist on the rule of law? And it's going to come down to you and me, and whether or not we're willing to take responsibility and how we do that. I put as the quote for this commentary, this part of part one of the wrap-up, a quote from Marcus Aurelius, quote, "Do not act as if you had 10,000 years to throw away. Death stands at your elbow. Be good for something while you live, and it is in your power." Something that's a quote to keep by you this year. Our interview was an extraordinary discussion. The Solari team has never spent as much time plowing through the trends and the stories of the year as we did this year. And our News Trends and Stories editor, Brad Eatons, has done a fantastic job, particularly on part one. The number one story for the year is currency wars. We did a major treatment on this because I wanted to bring together all the different factors that I discussed both in the state of our currency, but were at play all year long, and pull them together so you could see them in one place together. Dr. Farrell and I spent a lot of our time in part one talking about the currency wars and all the different aspects so you could hear about it in an integrated treatment. And I think if you look at our discussion here and then what I discussed about the state of our currency, I think these will be very, very helpful to you. But definitely check out the web presentation. Remember, our web presentation for the wrap-ups is a work in progress. So we have all the part one trends, part one stories, part one top videos, and the Trump report card all up. And we're still filling out the headlines for part two. We'll have that done for you by the time we go live with the audio for part two next week. Story number two, FASB 56, secret money for secret army, secret operations, secret technology, and secret weapons. And that's why it's so hard to figure out what's going on, because so much of it is secret and getting more so. Planet Equity and the Big Band Bot Mess was story number three. In 2014, I published a big piece on Planet Equity and said they weren't going to mark the debt down. They were going to try and mark the equity up. And sure enough, that's what's been happening. And if you look at some of what's going on in new technology and combination of that and disaster capitalism, Planet Equity can keep on going. But more on that when we do the equity overview in the third week. Story number four, globalization. The economy is slowing, whether it's war or trade wars or all sorts of high friction. We're definitely seeing legal wars, financial wars, and maybe now physical wars, even maybe nuclear wars. So the economy is slowing, and if things go the wrong way on the trade and war tensions, you know, it could be much worse. And then finally, of course, trade wars was a biggie. Not much to say other than trying to rebalance the U.S.-China relationship. Deeply dependent on each other economically is going to take a long, long time. Geopolitics story number six was the database deepens controls across the planet. That's a story about technocracy. Story number seven, we teed up in the currency wars, but continue with the Silk Road Europe, the rise of Asia, the war for Eurasia, and the South China Sea. Keep your eye on Hong Kong, Taiwan, South China Sea, because that's a currency story. Story number eight, political furballs and the territorial ambitions of a multipolar world. Just when you think there's nothing worse than the U.S. being a bully and a cop all over the world, see what happens when there's no cop. Everybody's getting ambitious in terms, or many people are getting ambitious in terms of territory. The climate change op was number nine, and then story number 10, the future is the rule of law. Shredding the Treaty of Westphalia, the Nuremberg Code, and the Constitution, what is the plan? It's really funny because you're watching so many things spin out of control. Massive violations of the Nuremberg Code is what I think is happening with the what I call the biowarfare burger, or what's happening with vaccine mandates. This is really Nuremberg violation stuff. It's very, very serious. And then, of course, the secret money for secret armies is the Treaty of Westphalia goes in the trash can. Well, question is, what's the value of a sovereign bond if the government isn't sovereign? You're talking about pulling the credit rug out from under, you know, the entire global 100 trillion plus sovereign bond market. I mean, what's that about? And then the Constitution. So if you're going to have no law, how are you going to have any trade? How are you going to have any markets? How are you going to have anything? As you listen to Joseph and I discuss part one, I strongly recommend you get on the web presentation. You can link just from the link in the commentary. If you're logged in at Solari, it'll log you in automatically. And you can follow along with the different headlines within the sort of the different categories. And I think it really helps you if you're following along on the web presentation. And of course, the Trump report card is up there. Next week in News Trends and Stories Part 2, we're going to cover the top 10 stories in culture. science and technology, space, and food and health. We'll also discuss the unanswered questions and inspiration and take action. Then equity overview, and then in the final week, it may be more than 1 week, we'll finish the deep state tactics. If you look at the commentary, we've got our outline for the whole series. So we've covered down through legal, and next will be politics, then culture and consumerism, cybersecurity, covert operations and crime, targeting of children, the beatdowns, company, neighborhood, and cohort. And then final section is hard times, my list of the personal worst, then helpful strategies and closing thoughts. One of the reasons I wanted to complete Deep State Tactics as part of the wrap-up is I got more than a few requests to turn this into a hard copy, and doing it as the annual wrap-up gives us the opportunity to do it. Given the length, we may have to do what we did last year with going to a 2-volume. Let's just see how it plays out, but I wanted to make sure that I could sort of honor that request because it did make a lot of sense to roll this up into a written document. Ask Catherine. Okay, I answered a few of the questions in Money and Markets. So if you're listening to this in chapter form, you may want to go back to listen to Money and Markets. Catherine, in light of the Vanity Fair article you posted about Jared Kushner and Kellyanne Conway's alleged opposition of him, what do you make of Jordan Conway's public opposition of Trump? I don't believe I've heard you comment on it. In light of the article, it doesn't sound that far-fetched to think that someone with access to George Conway's control file is forcing his antics to try to edge out Kellyanne and give Yarmolka and the Make Israel Great Again team free reign. I don't know. I find the situation with Conway trashing Trump when his wife is sitting in the White House to be one of the stranger things going on in this administration. But there's so many possible explanations for it that I don't even want to speculate. Other than I think Trump at this point just ignores him. Hi, Catherine. I followed some of your examples on technology issues. My Wi-Fi is off for good in favor of a wired connection. Great. I purchased a Faraday bag and keep my phone in it as much as possible when not using it. Great. So far, so good on those 2 points. I should note, I got a Faraday bag for my laptop, and I'm definitely liking that one, too. I'm trying to keep the laptop in a Faraday bag when I'm not using it. I also purchased a laptop several months ago and installed Ubuntu on it. And then you go on to explain the challenges you've been having with that and your Brother Laser printer. I've never had a Brother Laser printer that wasn't plug and play right away, but I sent your message to one of our teammates who's really great on this stuff, and they sent you a long detailed answer making recommendations. So hopefully you will try those and that will solve the problem. Then you said also, have you tried DuckDuckGo as a search engine? Yes, that's my primary search engine. So I find that to be reasonably good. I've covered our recommendations for how to make sure your digital infrastructure is secure, and I've gone over those several times in the Solaria report, but I've asked our team to post them at the FAQ, so hopefully by next Monday they'll be at the FAQ and you can check those if you want to get our recommendations. Hello, Catherine. My wife and I live 100% off the grid and have for the last 20 years. Oh, that's fabulous. We have a small farm located in a small community with good Christian neighbors. We look after each other, and each of us has a unique ability or asset that we share. Ooh, sounds wonderful. I give you this background because of how fully I support your ideas about where we should be headed as individuals and as a whole. And as such, would like to introduce you to a man named James McCanney. That's McCanney. James McCanney has a type of wing generator he calls the wing generator, which allows a person... I'm sorry, he has a type of wind generator, WIND, he calls the wing, WING, generator, which allows a person or a community to become energy independent in a matter of months. There is much more than independent energy that he brings to the table, and I would ask if you to go to his website and spend some time investigating him. We use many of his products and have read many of his books. Quite a fantastic fellow, to be sure. McCanney.com. Yes, thank you. I will definitely check that out. Sounds very interesting. Hi, Catherine. I think I finally produced a production of YouTube, 80 minutes in length, that would possibly captivate some enough to say, alas, the Da Vinci Code revealed. Please give it a chance. So, let's see. It's how Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man schematic, which I saw at the Louvre, can decode a theorized encoded sacred geometrical message. Okay. Within the Vitruvian Man. Okay. This is 27-part YouTubes. Okay. I got it. It's a lot. Catherine, this is a very informative article, and I can vouch for its accuracy. I met Lavoie. This is about Lavoie Finicum's assassination by the FBI. I met Lavoie's wife and daughter when they presented their case to a small audience. It was a heart-wrenching hour of her explaining the details of the murder. People responded that the corruption of the justice system and circumstances, they may not have a chance. Despite this, they stated, we have faith in a higher power when they go to trial in 2020. Gideon comes to mind. Thank you very much. I reposted that. Finnegan and his family are marvelous people, and I'm always glad to do anything I can to support them. Hi, Catherine. Thought you would enjoy this lecture. I became a patient a few months ago after I heard you mention him a few months ago. Yeah, that's Dr. Tent, who's a chiropractor, naturopath from the Michigan area. Very impressive guy. Another link coming in. Here's a case brought to federal court, D.C. Circuit, January 17th. Please listen to this interview with the technical and legal team. It seems billions of dollars have gone from ratepayers to the wireless companies in an extremely fraudulent manner. Yes, we were supposed to get broadband. We paid for it. Aha! But they're using it to finance 5G. This case would also extend to the issue of net neutrality. There's also an excellent free download PDF, The Book of Broken Promises, $400 billion broadband scandal and free the net. Please post the interview for Solaris subscribers and check their website. I did. The PDF download can be shared with local and state politicians. I think we made a small donation, and I posted it, and we'll try and check out more. So I very much appreciate your sending that. Then we got an excellent long email recommending a independent journalist named Jeremy Hammond, and I'm going to take a look at his work. And one of the things he says, let me read, as a Solaris subscriber with a decade of experience in healthcare and as the father of a child who was injured by vaccines, I felt the need to bring his work to your attention. I firmly believe that if we don't start pushing the health freedom issue forward now, we as a nation are going to lose those freedoms. Living here in California, we have already lost a few key battles on the health freedom front that have directly affected the lives of my family as well as a couple of my friends. I couldn't agree more. I think that is health and food freedom and safety is going to be front and center all around the world in 2020, but certainly very front and center in North America. And so I thank you, and we'll follow up on that. Thank you again for all you do, Catherine. I and many others are truly thankful. Okay, that's it for tonight. You certainly got part one is plenty to listen to without money in markets. Farrell and I love to chew through these things, and we learn an amazing amount. Every time I think I understand this, I sit down with him, and he takes the whole thing to the whole new level. So this was very insightful. Next week, News Trends and Stories Part 2. Then the following week, Equity Overview and Rambus Chartology. And then the following week, Deep State Tactics. All four parts of the 2019 annual wrap-up. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy in 2020, it's a must take action. You need to start one. So, good night and good luck.